Hello and welcome to We the People. Have you ever noticed in recent elections that whenever you see lines outside polling booths on election day, the longest lines are that of women? Well, that is because it emerges that India has been witnessing a silent revolution. There's been a steady increase in the female voter turnout. In 1962, there was a 15 percentage point gap between the number of male voters and the female voters. In the last election, that is in 2014, this gender gap was down to 1.5. And in many states, women's vote turnout or women's voter turnout has exceeded that of men. Now, of the first-time voters announced by the Election Commission, 38 million are men, 43.5 million are women. But there's a paradox. We're seeing record women's voter turnout, but where's the representation of women in Parliament? Women comprise 48% of the population, but they hold only 12% of Lok Sabha seats. That said, this election is already historic. In an unprecedented move, Mamata Banerjee has fielded 41% women candidates. The Odisha Chief Minister, Naveen Patnaik, has earmarked 33% of the state's 21 parliamentary seats to women. We're asking tonight, is this a game changer? Will other parties follow suit, and what's preventing them from doing so? We have on the show tonight Dr. Kakoli Ghosh from the TMC. She's standing for re-election from Barasat. We have Dr. Sasmit Patra. He's a spokesperson of the BJD. Lalitha Kumaramangalam of the BJP. Ami Yagnik of the Congress. Kaveri Bamzai, senior journalist, former editor of India Today. And if I'm not wrong, you're also the first and until now only woman editor of India Today, yes. That's right. Urmila Matondkar, the Congress's candidate from Mumbai North. Gurmehar Kaur needs no introduction, but she's here in her capacity as an author, as the author specifically of Young and the Restless, which looks at youth and politics in India Today. And we have Dr. Carol Sparry. She's the Assistant Professor of Politics at the University of Nottingham with an expertise in Indian politics and gender, the co-author of the book Performing Representation, Women Members in the Indian Parliament. And I want to go across first to Dr. Patra. You are the only male on our panel, first. And I want to speak to you about how the men in your party have been taking this. You know, how difficult was it to get it past the male MPs? How have they reacted? Because, you know, sir, change is unsettling. And Odisha is a part of India. India is hugely patriarchal, and politics is the last bastion of patriarchy.
Firstly, it's a privilege of being such a panel. I have a full team. And secondly, to understand how it will come. In early 90s,
I'm not being able to hear, sir, correctly. Can I just... let me come back to you, sir. Let's reconnect this connection and come back to you. Let me go across then to the BJP and the Congress first, right? So you have these regional parties and they are shaking things up. But when it comes to the mainstream parties, the Congress and the BJP, for you, it's business as usual. For both your parties, there's really no difference between the two of you when it comes to women candidates. It's about 10 to 12%. So, Lalitha, first to you, you're the party in power. Now, if you look at the Prime Minister, the thrust of most of his government welfare schemes have been directed at women, targeted at women, whether it's Yojana or gas or housing, or Swachh, whatever it is. So clearly there's some strategists in your party who know that this is a critical vote. So why don't you just give them a ticket?
You know, I agree with you that 11 or 12 or even 15% is too low. And that both the national parties this time, despite whatever may have been the rhetoric and the programs implementation-wise, have not given sufficient seats for women. Generally, what will be told by most people is that there aren't enough women available for candidacy, or that, you know, do they have the economic resources to be able to stand for election, etc., etc. Because in this country, elections are very costly. It's not cheap. But quite frankly, as you pointed out, this is an extraordinarily patriarchal society and country. And the fear that, well, if a woman is given a seat or if reservation is given to a woman, which is what people like me, activists turned politicians, have been screaming out and shouting out loud for years, saying we should get at least 33%, is that they will lose their power. Now, power is in a patriarchal society, or has been, and in this country we are still more patriarchal than not, the last bastion for men.
Yes.
And politics is where a lot of decisions are made, and every politician, every MP is enormously powerful in this country, especially in their own constituencies, etc., and even beyond very often. I think that unless parties realize that women actually vote for other women, unless they realize that women are more than capable of helping them meet their political targets, it is an uphill battle. However, I am very glad to say this, I will probably be pilloried for it, that there are some regional parties which have actually given good seats, winnable seats to women.
So, two interesting points you are raising. Do women actually vote for other women?
We'll hope
to touch upon that in this show. And winnable seats. So, let's go across to those regional parties. Let's try Mr. Patra again. So, Mr. Patra, what is it that your party knows? First of all, please answer that question about how the men, how you all are doing. Are you feeling nervous about giving up this power, as we're hearing from Mr. Kumar, ma'am, Lalitha here? And secondly, what is it that you know then that these other mainstream parties don't know?
A very important good in the early 90s, that was the best actually.
Okay, I'm sorry, I apologize, because clearly no one can understand anything of what's going on. If we can get sir on the phone, we'll try that. Otherwise, let's move on. So, ma'am, then let me just go across to the Congress. You know, now, as if on cue, we're hearing Rahul Gandhi. He's now saying if the party comes to power, you'll see 33% reservation in parliament, not just in parliament, even in government jobs. I mean, between you and the BJP, this women's reservation bill has been like lagging in parliament for more than what, 2 decades now.
Years. You're absolutely right that the reservation bill for women has been there for a long time now. It was introduced first in 98 and then 99, and then we finally came in the UPA. It was tabled in the Rajya Sabha in 2010 March, and it was cleared in the Rajya Sabha, but then it never went to the Lok Sabha. It was not cleared, and there was a lot of opposition. But I think we have a track record as far as we can say about the Congress party. Of course, I agree with a couple of points of Ms. Lalitha ji, how women are projected in the political arena. But unless and until we bring the reservation bill, we are not going to put women there where they are required in decision making. And that is why we say that when we come to power, that is the first thing we are going to do, and we bring the reservation bill.
But you have seen that when we come to power?
Because I think we need a political consensus on this. We need all the parties to come together, and we need all the parties.
I'm talking about internally, not
yes.
other parties.
Internally, yes, we are today, we are having a very complex situation as far as politics is concerned. You think of women candidates, we need people, women who can stand up in society, a very, very strong patriarchal society with a very strong mindset. You can see the discrimination. We are unable to, even as a country, you know, provide as much safety and security we need to give to women. The women don't have economic resources to stand up on their own, even if a ticket is given. I think she has to prove, you know, in a male world that
no,
yes, she's going to.
Lalitha also mentioned that, but I'm sure the party is putting money behind male
yes,
candidates.
Of course,
no.
of course,
you
and that is why.
Pick a candidate. Lalitha, you mentioned this, so please, you also
yes.
come in here. It's not just about the Congress.
Your
party
not just
is
about
putting
the
money
Congress,
behind a male
every
candidate.
Every party across the board, it actually has nothing to do with party. Every party across the board will tell you that we are for it. When we come to power, we'll do it. Now, and I'm being brutally honest, like I said, I'm going to probably be torn to bits after this program, but the truth is that now even when
women
are
need to
given
stand up
tickets,
for women first and not the party.
And
so
no,
you should be willing to say
women
the truth.
Are given tickets, often they're given tickets that everybody knows they're not going to
yeah.
win, and they're not supported by the leadership.
Correct.
You need to have the support of your MLAs, your local boothwalas, everybody. Politics is, I mean, elections is not
you
easy
ran
to
twice.
Win. I ran twice.
You lost.
Yes.
This was in a seat that
the
was your late brother's seat.
No, the first time that I ran, I didn't want to run. I was made to stand in a seat that where everybody knew I could not win. And the seat that I should have been given where I would have, I mean, won hands down was not given to me. And this is not true just of me. This is true of many other women. It's just that I'm mupat. So I say everything out, you know, very openly.
And that's why we difficult call you on the show.
But this is the truth of too many women. According to me, regardless of what party they may belong to, I would welcome more women in parliament. Women change the landscape of developmental activities across the world. It's not just in India. And today, it's a fact. Just look at one more fact. The economics of agriculture in this country, everybody knows that we are in a crisis. And do you know that out of 20 jobs in agriculture, if you take from seed to planting the seed to actually sowing, 17 jobs are done by women.
And but you're in the party. Really, you are in the party. Do you not reflect this to the leadership?
So we do.
Prime Minister Modi says
there
he listens to everybody
now.
And
there
the women
is a
in the party.
Now, but
what is
the problem
change?
Is, there is a change.
What is the change?
We have given enough, I have given enough input for the manifesto, and now there is at least a recognition that yes, women actually run agriculture in this country.
No, what is it? Is
there are too many problems around it. That's topic for another thing, and I'm glad to give you the notes for that.
The party giving women tickets, having women in positions of power.
Look, it's not just
the PM
in politics.
Says,
across
you know,
the board.
Beti Bachao, women
yes.
Shakti.
Yes,
but he doesn't least, practice what he preaches.
At least we have started looking at things like Beti Bachao. I'm not trying to defend my party, but yes, we have done a lot that has helped in some ways to empower women across the country. But politics, as you pointed out in your opening itself, is the last bastion of power, and it's going to be given up very, very reluctantly. It's like in the boardrooms. There is already a law that says you must have a minimum percentage of women in the boardrooms, and the biggest of companies in this country
That's
don't
why
have
possibly
them.
Why we need the law, because in India nobody does anything unless there's a law.
Even with that law, it's not being
it.
Done. Even with that law, it's not being done. Not that I'm saying that not bringing the 33% law is absolutely essential. I mean, left to me, I'd say we should actually ask for 50% now. But let's get
let's
at least
start
the
with
33%.
No, but yeah, I want to just make a quick point here. You know, I think concomitant to that is the fact that the women in the labor force, their percentage is coming down from 35%
yeah, in, the organized labor force.
In the organized labor force. While we talk about the females in a female farmer who's often ignored and is invisible because the image you have of the farmer is of the male who's
correct.
Marching towards Delhi. It's not so. It is the female farmer who actually does the most work.
Yeah.
But I think the important thing is that in the public domain, the space for women is shrinking. Because even if you look at the organized labor force, women have actually come down from 35% to 23%
okay.
in 2005 to
but
23%.
I want to focus back again on
But you know, it's part of the whole problem. If the women are invisible
yes.
in the public space, if you cannot see what you cannot be, so increasingly, if women are becoming invisible in the public space, in the corporate space, you will also become invisible in the political
you know,
space.
I want
and
to
I think
to
that is very disturbing.
I want to talk to you. Say women are invisible. I
are
just
becoming
talk
invisible.
To, are becoming invisible. I ma'am, aapka naam kya hai? Uniform
pehne ho? Kusum Singh hai.
Aap kya karte ho?
Main job karti hu security mein.
Security ka matlab aap security guard?
Security guard hai ma'am.
कहाँ पे मतलब आजकल तो विमेन को भी फ्रिस्क करना पड़ता है इसलिए आप सिक्योरिटी गार्ड हो
नहीं मैम हमारे पास में जैसे हम हमारे पास में गर्ल्स हॉस्टल है हमारे पास गर्ल्स हॉस्टल
आप गर्ल्स हॉस्टल में सिक्योरिटी गार्ड हो
जी मैम
अच्छा
हमारा
ओके.
आनर है मिस्टर महेश चंद शर्मा मिसेज उनकी मालती शर्मा है वो आनर हमारी जो ऑल इंडिया की
अच्छा आप, आप एक मिनट मैम एक चीज समझाइए मुझे जब मैं कॉलेज में थी तो हमारे हॉस्टल के गार्ड तो मेल थे पहले ये बदलाव है कि आपको ये नौकरी कैसे मिली
नहीं मैम ये बदलाव हुआ है
क्यों कैसे
मैम इसलिए बदला हुआ कि हम मेल और फीमेल में हम दोनों ड्यूटी करते हैं
अच्छा
मेल और फीमेल में हम दोनों मिलकर ड्यूटी करते हैं
हाँ, तो मैम आपका शिफ्ट क्या होता है उनका शिफ्ट
मैम हम दोनों की शिफ्ट साथ साथ चलती है
अच्छा
शिफ्ट नहीं हमारे पास शिफ्ट नहीं है नाइट में शिफ्ट है हमारी डे शिफ्ट है हम दोनों साथ साथ में ड्यूटी करते हैं बट क्या है कि हम डे में करते हैं और वो नाइट में करते हैं बट हम दोनों साथ साथ चलते हैं हमारे यहाँ
तो आपको क्या लगता है कोई बदलाव अगर वुमन गार्ड है हॉस्टल में और मेल गार्ड है हॉस्टल में तो कुछ कोई बदलाव होती है
मैम बदलाव मतलब हम दोनों कंधे से कंधा मिला के ड्यूटी करते हैं ऐसा कोई दिक्कत नहीं होती हमें हमें कोई दिक्कत नहीं,
नहीं के
साथ
जो हॉस्टल में जो रहते हैं उनके लिए कोई बदलाव होती है अगर आई एम अ वुमन मैं औरत हूँ और मुझे मेरा गार्ड एक आदमी है
जी जी
और दूसरे दिन मेरा गार्ड औरत है तो मेरे लिए कुछ बदलाव होती है कि नहीं बेहतर होती है
नहीं बेहतर होती क्यों मैम वो अगर जेंट्स है जेंट्स गार्ड हमारी जगह जैसे हम कभी छुट्टी कर लिए कोई बात हो गया अगर जेंट्स गार्ड है तो ऐसा कुछ नहीं कोई प्रॉब्लम नहीं होता उनके
okay.
लिए वो
ओके तो हियर समबडी इन यूनिफॉर्म व्हिच टू मी इज अनयूजुअल बिकॉज़ व्हेन आई एम लुकिंग एट देम शी इज स्टैंडिंग आउट मैम आप क्या करते हो
हेलो मैम मेरा नाम ज्योति है और मैं कोला कैब में ड्राइवर हूँ एज अ ड्राइवर जॉब करती हूँ और
तो मतलब आप टैक्सी ड्राइवर हो
हाँ जी टैक्सी ड्राइवर
तो आपको ये नौकरी कैसे मिली और
मैं...
आपकी फैमिली ने क्या आपके मदर इन लॉ ने क्या बोले आप मतलब सास ने क्या बोला है
मैम सास और मदर लो तो गांव में रहते हैं, यहाँ कोई नहीं रहता
इसलिए आप ये काम करते हो।
हस्बैंड ने
पूरा वो आपको टीवी पे देखेंगे तो
हस्बैंड ने सपोर्ट करा पूरा, तो इसलिए इधर आके बैठी हूँ।
अच्छा देखिए, आप दोनों से मैं ये पूछना चाहती हूँ, कावेरी मैम यहाँ पे बैठ रही है, वो कह रही है कि विमेन इनविजिबल बन रहे हैं, कि हाउ डू यू से दिख नहीं रहे,
काम नहीं जाता।
ऑब्वियसली हम सिटीज के बारे में बात करें, दैट इज नॉट रिप्रेजेंटेटिव ऑफ इंडिया, पहले मैं वो कह लूं, मगर आप टैक्सी चला रहे हो, आप सिक्योरिटी गार्ड हो, मुझे तो लग रहा है कि वुमेन आर गेटिंग इंक्रीजिंगली आउट देयर, दे आर नॉट इनविजिबल। आप क्या कहते हो इस इलेक्शन में?
नंबर्स डोंट रिफ्लेक्ट इट एक्चुअली।
काफी लोग हमसे मिलके खुद, काफी जेंट्स लोग, लेडीज लोग सब भी मिलते हैं, काफी खुश होते हैं, कहते हैं कि आप बहुत अच्छा कर रहे हो और हम फर्स्ट टाइम कोई लेडी ड्राइवर देख रहे हैं।
कैन आई मेक अ पॉइंट हियर?
आई जस्ट वांट टू फिनिश। इस इलेक्शन में आपको क्या लगता है, वुमेन का वोट इंपॉर्टेंट होगा कि नहीं, क्योंकि स्टैटिस्टिक्स कहती है कि वुमेन की वोट बहुत होती है।
वुमेन्स पावर्स दिखने चाहिए, ऑफ कोर्स होगा।
नहीं, आप वोट करोगे, करते हो, वुमेन का वोट इम्पोर्टेंट है, बीजेपी ने कोई वुमेन कैंडिडेट नहीं लगाया है, मतलब कंपैरेटिवली कांग्रेस ने भी नहीं लगाया है, बस 10-15% का लगाया है। आपको क्या लगता है इन सबसे, वुमेन इंक्रीजिंगली प्रोफेशंस में बाहर जा रहे हैं मगर वो रिफ्लेक्ट नहीं हो रही है पॉलिटिक्स में?
I said
Nirmala Sitharaman and Sushma Swaraj. Of course, Sushma Swaraj has opted out for personal reasons. But these are the two most powerful women in the cabinet. But the fact, and I believe that these are just tokenism, this is tokenism, the fact that they're not contesting the Lok Sabha elections,
correct,
the fact that they're not involved in most of the decision making in their specific areas in this government, speaks volumes of how exactly the woman candidate is perceived.
Okay, now those are strong words. So you're saying this is tokenism.
Yes, and because
and they're not involved in decision making in this government.
Because I feel that there's a big distinction between the woman as a voter, which is appreciated by every political party, no doubt, and the woman as a candidate, and the woman as an equal partner in power. Power sharing is a problem.
When you speak to the BJP, they will always magnify this, saying that Nirmala Sitharaman is the first woman defense minister of the country, which is also not true. It's factually not true, because Indira Gandhi was.
Indira Gandhi was.
You're saying now she is
defense minister. They're talking about her as a full-time
defense minister, but they don't make that distinction. Now saying
they don't compare her to Indira ji. They say she's the first full-time defense minister.
They say that. I've never heard. I've never heard the full-time. But anyway, you're now saying this is just tokenism. She's not making decisions.
And I don't think you need me to say it. I think it's quite evident, whether it's Balakot or whether it's an important foreign visit, you don't see the defense and the foreign minister where they ought to be. It doesn't take a genius to tell you that. I think even Ms. Kumaramangalam will find it a little difficult to defend.
Nirmala is not a weak minister at all. Well, maybe her style of functioning is not very out there. But
she is out there. She's forever in photo ops, and you know she's forever.
She's not a very subjugative person at all. So I think that's being unfair to her.
Kaveri, then you know she says she's not subjugative. Yeah, what does that mean? She says she's not powerless. Kaveri, since you've brought it up, explain. What do you mean? Does she not have... The defense ministry is a huge ministry.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what are you saying?
No, so I'm saying that there are very key decisions where she was not consulted. And I think that is quite well known.
I don't think...
Whether it was the Balakot airstrike or whether it was the Rafael decision, she was not consulted in those decisions. And I think that speaks volumes of the fact that...
Let me put it a different way from Kaveri. Okay. She was not the only person who made the decision. It was made by a group of people. And in decisions such as that, you can't expect only one person to do it. Obviously, the Prime Minister will also have a say in it. He is the Prime Minister. It's like saying that during the 1971 war, Indira Gandhi consulted everybody in the cabinet. She didn't. She was Prime Minister. The major decision was hers.
I really
don't think any of you thinks that Sushma ji is the type of person who'll bow and scrape. many of you have seen her about
responsibility. You have responsibility. Can you take that final call? Do you have your finger on the button?
It's a question of having her power.
Somebody who holds her own. Again, her style of functioning may be not what we expect it to be. But believe me, Sushma ji more than holds her own.
We're not debating whether she holds her own. We're debating whether she has power to take
specific
those decisions.
Power
whether she has her
she
know,
has
the finger on that nuclear button in her ministry.
That she wants to.
Except to be a very active
I don't
Twitter
think that's
minister.
Fair.
Okay, let's bring in Dr. Carol
that's
Sparry here. Carol, you tweeted some time ago that we have not heard yet of the nominations of some senior BJP women. We know Sushma Swaraj is not standing again. Let's play that tweet out. But there's no announcement yet for her seats or seats of Sumitra Mahajan and Menaka Gandhi. We know now, of course, Menaka Gandhi has been announced.
We know now.
But and Sumitra Mahajan still unclear, right?
Yes.
Carol, what did you mean? Why did you tweet this?
Well, thank you, first of all, for having me on. I think one of the interesting things that I've been looking out for in this election is really trying to understand, well, basically trying to understand the numbers at a very sort of macro level, but also whether women in politics that are already in politics, whether they're getting renominated, they're getting the chances again, and whether, you know, in terms of the senior leadership and across different states as well, whether they get the second chance, whether they get, you know, that they can have a sustainable political career as well, you know, so that it's not necessarily, India has quite a high level of anti-incumbency. So parties changing candidates, but also candidates being voted out. So one of the other challenges is not just about whether women get the first chance to get into politics, but what chances do they have to actually stay in politics as well and develop that kind of independent career in politics. Well, I think so. I'm actually keeping a very strong lookout for all of the candidates. At the moment, all of the seats haven't been announced, so I haven't been able to get the overall percentages yet. But I know in 2014, the renomination of incumbent MPs was higher than it was in 2009. But we'll see in 2019 as well whether the leaders that are already in politics are getting a second chance as well.
All right.
I think it's quite interesting with Sumitra Mahajan and Manika Gandhi as well. Sumitra Mahajan obviously being the speaker. Meera Kumar I saw has been renominated as well in her constituency of Sasaram. So there is life after the speakership as well.
And that then the speakership hopefully is not the be-all and end-all of a woman politician's career. But, you know, we're going to do an interesting test. It's been easier to get a connection with Carol, who's in Nottingham. Let's see if we can try for one last time with Mr. Patra, who is in India, right, in Orissa. Mr. Patra, why this is okay, well, we don't have Mr. Patra. Do we have ma'am from the TMC? Okay. Well, let's bring in one woman who has been given a seat from the Congress this time, and we're talking about none other than Urmila Matondkar. She joins us. Urmila, firstly, congratulations on taking a leap into politics. But, you know, we're seeing a paradox in these elections. We've just said statistics have shown voter turnout is a record high. Women are almost 50% of the population, but only 12% of the Lok Sabha seats. Why are there, according to you, less women in politics?
To me, a woman is not, you know, you need nerves of steel to just step into this line. And over the, like, I'm sorry, I'm coming back to the last 5 years. It has gotten, the level of politics has gotten so low that I don't know, you need nerves of titanium in all probability to enter it and to hopefully sustain into it. But having said that, mine is the only party who has always believed in taking women with us and going ahead. As a matter of fact, I attended a Indian the Bombay function of the Congress committee, and I was extremely happy to see there were more women than even men in that particular huge meeting of our Bombay office. So that is how the party has gone on with it. But women need to have a lot of courage to stand up on their own, because the opposition party can stoop really, really low, in my case particularly, and hit you with everything and anything they have, and they don't.
Yes, the opposition stoops low, but ma'am, and women are especially targets, but we've heard, for example, BJP MLA Surinder Singh, he made those snide comments about Sapna Chaudhary being a dancer. But ma'am, he's not alone. You have the Mumbai Congress President Sanjay Nirupam, your predecessor from where you're fighting. He made derogatory remarks against the Union Minister of Textiles, Smriti Irani, too.
Well, no matter which party the person hails from, this is absolutely unacceptable. It is, I mean, I don't have to be saying that we are a country which bows down in front of women. There has been no other country which has given women the power that the women have had in this country, and the kind of contribution women have done in every possible field of our society and our country. So having said that, I think it is unacceptable from any party and any member, no matter what the reasons are. However, coming back to me and this whole dirty politics that has been pitted against me, the politics of hatred that is not only against me but everybody in this country, I just personally think that it just goes to show not only their low-level thinking but their insecurities from where this is coming. I have not made any negative or derogatory remark on any male or female of BJP, though I have a lot of them. I have a lot of negative, gossipy and not so nice things to say, but that is not what I'm here for. I think that is the time of doing all of that is gone. So it's a time of action. It is time to just prove your worth to yourself and to the people of the country, and that is how they are going to choose.
Okay, you know, ma'am, the big criticism of the women's reservation bill is that, and our panelists have mentioned this, Lalita has also mentioned it, that women are given unwinnable seats. You are making your electoral debut. You've been pitted against BJP's Gopal Shetty. He won with a record margin the last time. It is a very tough seat. Others have reportedly turned it down, from Sanjay Nirupam to Raj Babbar to Mr. Azharuddin. Many would say that this is an unwinnable seat.
I think in the elections, every seat is important, every constituency is important. But having said that, coming back to the seat that the constituency that I'm given, I think there is in democracy only one power and one thing that is, you know, beyond everything and above everything and the all-powerful, as you would call it, and that is the voter, that is the people. And I strongly believe that. And no matter who tries to tell me how strong who else is, I'm not going to buy it, because I think I know what people think about him. I know how many scams have happened in this constituency. The plots which have been given to make you know, children's park and parks and welfare you know, areas, etc., have been used for you know, his own from by his own firms for other kinds of things and etc. So I think there is a lot of discontent in people. It's just a question of the right time coming by. And before that also, 10 years Congress ruled the same constituency as well. So I think it is quite not fair to call any constituency, any particular person's person's or party's constituency. And coming to me, I go to people with my utter honesty. I have nothing else to offer them. And the fact that I have chosen a party because of my ideology, who is not even in the power in the center, I think that itself proves. And I don't know about the other strengths of the gentleman I'm pitted against, but I do know the extreme powers of the party in the IT machinery that they have, because the amount of trolling and backlashing that they can offer a woman candidate is appalling. And I think it's out there for people to see. So I think if you have to fight, you have to give it a just fight, and that is what I intend to do.
Okay, I apologize to our viewers. We don't have Mr. Gopal Shetty to respond to those allegations. But Urmila ma'am says, give it a fight. That's what she intends to do. And nobody embodies giving a fight better than Gurmeher Kaur. She joins us here. Gurmeher, you were a regular Delhi University student. Mm-hmm. And then you became the face of the fight against the ABVP. Mm-hmm. You were then threatened with rape. Yeah. You were threatened with violence. And I don't think you were expecting it, but mm-hmm. you fought back. Once you were thrown into the yeah. deep end, you really fought back. To me, like, I believe from looking at your entire story, your experience basically proves that even today, for the average Indian male, the idea that a woman has mm-hmm. political views yeah. is something they're not willing to accept.
Mm-hmm. I think before I answer that, I do want to pick up on some this conversation that has been going around the room about women having nerves of steel to be able to contest. You said it, and Urmila ji said it, and of course you also mentioned it. Everyone nodded their heads in agreement. But yet, the second book that I'm writing, I went out. I'm profiling and looking at themes of young politicians who are currently in the parliament or will be contesting in the elections this or the next. And I swear to God, it was impossible for me to find equal number of women to put in the book, because I had put the cap saying that I only want women who are in the electoral politics. And can I also talk about in the last 5 years, we have seen some of the most, within student activism, the circuit that I've engaged with, some of the most powerful voices, some of the most powerful female voices come out, whether it's Kanupriya from the left, from Punjab University, the first president, whether it's Sheila Rashid, even whether it's Janvi or Mahameda from the ABVP. I want to know, and yet these student voices are just left there. They're just used as machinery to oil the ideology, to be doing the little groundwork. I want to see these women in the parliament. It's a question across party lines. When are your student leaders or women who have these nerves of steel, all of them, when are you going to give them a ticket and put them in places where they can, where they are in power? That is my question to every single party.
So you, we see equal representation of women at student politics?
I think it's not equal representation, but enough. But when are these women going to get a seat? When are they going to get a ticket? Why are all these women just stopped right there?
And where do they go? Like, where do they fall off? Like, this is, the, you know,
well,
the whole panchayat
like
Raj
represents her own party. She's tried.
She's just joined, yes. Yeah. So this is similar to the, you know, panchayat reservations of women at the panchayat level. You see, I think 45% of
more than that, 52 or 53
are women. So obviously these are women. They are aware of politics. They know how to play the game, and then they just fall off the map somewhere. Like, where are they going? They don't seem
don't
to
have reservation at the assembly level.
Yes,
correct. So it's a reverse pyramid. But Gulnar, will you join politics? Many would love to see you in politics. Will you join politics?
Assembly level.
Mm, will I join politics?
Yes.
I do want to do a master's first. So I don't know.
Leaving it open, okay. But, you know, you've written two books. Your first book was The Small Acts of Freedom. It was a very personal book. Mm-hmm. This book that you're writing sounds very political. So clearly for you, the personal is
political.
Yeah. Now, what do you say about the perception many have of India's youth, that, especially of women, that, you know, they're not interested in politics? Mm-hmm. What would you say to that?
I do want to talk, when we're talking about India's youth, I do want to first address the point that even just because we're talking about the youth doesn't mean the patriarchal structures don't exist. Even between young men and women, men do seem to oppress women's opinions, even at those levels. So it is difficult for young women to speak out. And then talking about the whole world assuming that younger people don't have political opinions. In the last 5 years, when there was a point where there was no opposition at all, when there was a point that the opposition was almost invisible, and that's when the JNU movement happened. That's when the younger people spoke up. That's when the Hyderabad movement happened. That's when that's also when Jignesh Mevani stepped up. These are the young people who stepped up in a space when there was no opposition.
Now that the opposition,
and now that the opposition is there, and these are leaders who are now who are contesting, it's amazing to see. If somebody says that younger people don't have political opinions, I don't believe so. Again, talking about women, the Pinjathur movements have been one of the strongest movements in North India. So it's quite interesting. I don't agree with the fact that,
Okay, we have Dr. Kakoli Ghosh joining us. Dr. Ghosh, firstly, you know, congratulations on what the TMC has done. Mamata Banerjee, of course, loves a good challenge. And but this is a bold move, but is it also a gamble? How many of these seats that you've given to women are actually winnable?
Oh, what kind of a gamble do you talk about?
Is this going to work? Why are you so sure that it is going to work? And the question is, have you assigned women seats that are unwinnable? And I say that with skepticism because I know how important this election is for the TMC right now.
Louder?
The BJP is breathing down your neck.
Louder?
I'll try and speak clearly, ma'am. I'll keep it short. How many of these tickets that you fielded, where you fielded women, are seats which are winnable?
I can't hear.
Okay, then I'm going to try and bring in some young women here because Gurmeher, you said we were talking about whether the youth have a political opinion. These young women, they come from Kadar, which is a slum resettlement area. Where is the mic? In Delhi, and they're actually rappers, and they rap about issues that are important to them, which include women's safety. Correct? Aap rap kyun karte ho aur aap kya kehte ho aapke rap mein?
Women's safety bahut zaruri hai, to uske liye humne socha बहुत ज़्यादा मतलब हरेशमेंट होता है. हम कहीं पे भी जाते हैं तो हमारे साथ में होता है आना जाना. जो हमारा प्रोजेक्ट है जो हम एक साल से कर रहे थे, तो इसमें आना जाना सिर्फ ये नहीं कि हम घर से बाहर ऑफिस जा रहे हैं, आना जाना हमारा हर जगह पे है. यहाँ तक कि सार्वजनिक जो हमारे वाहन हैं उनमें भी है, उनमें भी हमें बहुत दिक्कतें महसूस होती हैं. मेरा नाम मीरा है.
अच्छा मीरा, आप वोट करने वाले हो इस बार? कैन यू वोट? हाउ ओल्ड आर यू? हाँ, तो फर्स्ट टाइम वोटर हो आप?
नहीं, मैंने पहले भी किया है.
अच्छा, तो इस टाइम इलेक्शन कमीशन कह रही है कि वुमेन फर्स्ट टाइम वोटर्स आर 5 million टाइम्स मोर देन मेल फर्स्ट टाइम वोटर्स. सो वुमेन फर्स्ट टाइम वोटर्स आर वेरी क्रूशियल. सेम ब्रेथ में लोग कहते हैं कि लड़कियां ना जैसे पापा जो कहते हैं, दादाजी जो कहते हैं, वैसे वोट करेंगे. आपको क्या लगता है?
नहीं, मुझे ऐसा नहीं लगता कि वोट किसी के कहने से करना चाहिए. वोट हमें खुद अपना, क्योंकि हमारा वोट बहुत कीमती होता है, हमें खुद चॉइस करना चाहिए. हमें देखना चाहिए कौन सी पार्टी क्या कर रही है. पार्टी नहीं, जो व्यक्ति हमारा एरिया का है वो हमारे लिए क्या कुछ करेगा, या कौन सी पार्टी है जो हमारे लिए कुछ कर रही है. हमारे अधिकार तो हैं, संविधान में हमें दिए हैं अधिकार, लेकिन वो हमें पूरी तरह से मिल नहीं रहे.
तो आप कौन से इश्यूज पे वोट, आपके लिए इस इलेक्शन में कौन से इश्यू इम्पोर्टेंट है?
हमारे लिए सेफ्टी इम्पोर्टेंट है, हमारे लिए समानता बराबरी इम्पोर्टेंट है, जो उसका हमेशा हमारा हनन होता रहता है. हम हर जगह पे कम्फर्टेबल फील नहीं करते हैं. तो
So Kaveri, you know, to me what is coming across is when you ask why are these some political parties investing so much in women, I think the answer is, you know, the millennial youth women's vote, because they're assertive, they're independent, they know their minds, and no matter what they do in the polling booth is up to them.
But I think the point that Gurmehir made, then after that what, you know, so you have this whole patriarchal construct again, main bhi chowkidar. I mean, how many chowkidars have you seen that are women? And why should you have chowkidars in the first place?
If your chowkidars are always doing chowkidari of women.
No, it is a fact. It is a very protective measure rather than enabling. What do women want? You heard
As Yogi Adityanath said, women don't want independence, they want protection.
What did he do? So he had Romeo squads. Yeah. What are Romeo squads? Yeah. They are self-appointed chowkidars. So do you need chowkidars or do you need a better law and order system? She talked about walking on the streets and, you know, catcalling and harassment. So do you need a better law and order system, a better policing system, or do you need a chowkidar at every corner to, stop that? And why should you have privatization of law and order? I mean, it is amazing to me that you have a government, a party in power, which is actually unofficially saying that we are very sorry. We cannot provide you law and order. We are very sorry to the women. So we're actually privatizing security. And we're saying each of us is a chowkidar. And who are the chowkidars at the end of the day? Your fathers, your brothers, your husbands. Why? Why is that? Why should a woman like her not feel free to walk on the streets without the catcalling, without the chowkidar, with, as she said, what is in the Samvidhan, what is in the Constitution, and she has those rights in the Constitution.
But if we're saying there are so many more women who are voting, coming out to vote, willing to stand in line, are there issues being reflected in our political manifestos?
I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I feel that, yes, they are getting benefits. You mentioned those benefits earlier. You talked about the toilets for women. You talked about, the
gas connection,
the Jan Dhan Yojana, which of course has 2,000 rupees in the account, but at least it's an account. And you talked about the gas connection. But again, I feel these are all things that restrict the woman to the private space, to the ghar, to the, you know, to the private domain.
What do you
have for the women in the public domain? You can't have a chowkidar for the women in the public domain and say that's it.
But you can have women chowkidars. You have one on your show here.
So, is that our future?
Look,
we had... Just one last point here. That in 2014, we talked about Achedin. Okay, we had high expectations. What are we talking about 2019 that we want chowkidars jobs?
I think it's obvious Kaveri's sympathies don't lie with the BJP.
Yes,
so I'm
and
not
I want to focus
get into
on
a political
fair
argument.
Fair enough,
here.
But I want to focus on the issue.
Yeah,
sure.
But I don't want to get into a political argument. For years, I've been saying that women's issues get swept under the table when politics really comes into it, right?
Correct.
Now, women have their own aspirations, and women nowadays, even in the villages, in large parts of India, perhaps not every village, come out and vote very often after making up their own mind. It's true that till about perhaps 10, 15 years ago, the majority of women voted according to caste lines or what they were told by their various, the men, etc., the seniors or whatever it is. But it is changing.
But the fact also is that India does not vote along gender and, let's say gender lines. Women may vote for other women, but women have to be given those seats for other women, for the voter, the female voter to vote for them.
Let's ask.
The real problem lies there. Women do vote. There are enough statistics. I don't want to get into the statistics because they're too long. But women will vote for other women. And let me tell you, the statistics show that women at the panchayat level have done a better job at governance in the last 25 odd years than men have. So all of that is established. But the women in the men in political parties are still very reluctant to give up their space. They know it's a powerful space.
Got it.
They don't
let me
want
go,
to
let
share.
Me go back to these young women and ask them. So, if a woman candidate hai, aurat hai, jo candidate hai, kya aap unko vote jada interest hai aapko unko vote dene ke liye?
नहीं मैम, जो हमारे कहते हैं इलाके में जो काम करेगा, चाहे महिला हो चाहे पुरुष हो, हम वोट उसी को देंगे। जरूरी नहीं कि ये महिला है तो उसको ही वोट देंगे, काम जो अच्छा करेगा उसको वोट देंगे।
नहीं, जो आपकी विमेन्स इंटरेस्ट है, विमेन्स इश्यूज है, वो कौन किसके कौन रेज करता है? मेल कैंडिडेट या फीमेल कैंडिडेट?
महिलाएं करती हैं।
आप कह रहे थे?
जी मैम, मैम मैं ये कह रही थी, जो चौकीदार की बात हो रही थी, तो चौकीदार हमें नहीं चाहिए। हमें चौकीदार की जरूरत नहीं है, हम खुद हमें सेफ्टी चाहिए, हमें हमें ये कंफर्टेबल चाहिए कि हम कहीं पे भी सुरक्षित माहौल चाहिए, जो हम जहाँ पे कंफर्ट जोन हम महसूस कर सकें। और रही बात जो चौकीदार की, अगर चौकीदार रहेगा, पापा या भाई कोई साथ में रहेगा, तो हम वहाँ पे भी फिर हम अपने आप को कंफर्टेबल कैसे बोल सकते हैं? जब
तो
हमारे
पहली क्वेश्चन जो मैंने आपको पूछा था, आपने ये आप रैप क्यों करते हैं इसके बारे में, और कौन सुनते हैं आपके ये जो यूनिक स्टाइल ऑफ प्रोटेस्ट जो आप करते हैं? आप इसलिए कह रहे कि आपका टाइम आ गया? नहीं आएगा, आ गया आपका टाइम।
जी मैम, आपका
तो कौन सुनता है ये जो आप कह रहे हो?
मैम क्यों हमने ये सॉन्ग इसलिए बनाया था कि हमारी बात जो हम नहीं कह पा रहे हैं सबके साथ में, हम जो सबको सुनाना चाहते हैं वो हम रैप के थ्रू सुनाना चाहते हैं, इसलिए हमने
सुनना चाहते
हैं। तो जी मैम, जो हमारा इसमें एक लाइन है, नदी तो दूर नाली भी नहीं, पहाड़ तो दूर कूड़े के ढेर मिलेंगे, रास्ते में हो लाइट ना हो कोई फाइट, स्मार्ट शहर तो बस बहाना है, जनता को नीतियों के खेल में फंसाना है। तो मैम जब लाइट ही, जहाँ लाइट नहीं होती, जहाँ अंधेरा होता
लाइट नहीं है तो कोई फाइट नहीं,
वहाँ पे तो बहुत हमें अनकंफर्टेबल होता है, वहाँ पे फाइट तो होनी होनी है। और जैसे हमने देखा है हमारे एरिया में, जहाँ पे लाइट नहीं है वहाँ ज्यादातर छीन झपट कुछ ना कुछ होता रहता है, किसी को चाकू मार दिया, इस तरह की घटनाएं भी होती है हमारे एरिया में। तो जब किसी के ऊपर हमला होता है तो स्ट्रीट लाइट क्यों नहीं है हर जगह पे? उस चीज की जहाँ जिस चीज की नीड है वो चाहिए हमें, हमें किसी चौकीदार की जरूरत नहीं है।
Okay, we also have, thank you, that was great, I thought the rap was fantastic. Let's just go across here, ma'am, aap Vimla hai?
Vimlesh Sharma.
Vimlesh Sharma, aur aap Sarpanch hai?
Sarpanch
Rindu. Kahan se?
Nithari gaon, log jante hain usko, Noida mein.
Yes, because in the headline, let's not go into that. But ma'am, aap bataiye, ye jo hum debate kar rahe hain women's reservation ke upar, kuch badlaav, aap kaise bane Sarpanch?
मैं तो वहीं से आई थी कि रिजर्वेशन था,
रिजर्वेशन बिकॉज ऑफ रिजर्वेशन आप सरपंच बने,
बिकॉज ऑफ रिजर्वेशन, और एक महिला को वहां पर बनाया गया, कैंडिडेट सारी महिलाएं थी, 8 महिलाएं थी मेरे सामने, 7 और थी, तो बनी तो मैं उसी की वजह, नॉमिनेशन उसी की वजह से हुआ, और इलेक्ट हुई मैं। इलेक्ट इसलिए हुई कि जो मुझे लगता है कि आई वॉज द फर्स्ट ग्रेजुएट लेडी इन दैट विलेज, और जब मेरी शादी हुई थी तो मैं गई थी, तो मैं पहली ग्रेजुएट थी, तो लोगों ने मुझे मेरी इस चीज को माना जब मेरा इलेक्शन हुआ। और उससे पहले मैं कभी बहुत ज्यादा मैं नहीं आई थी एक्टिव लाइफ में, मैंने अपने बच्चों को पढ़ाया, बड़ा किया, और फिर एक टाइम मुझे लगा कि मुझे सोसाइटी के लिए कुछ करना चाहिए, और इन मीन वाइल उसी समय ये हुआ कि हमारे यहाँ चुनाव होगा, और चुनाव होगा तो वो वुमेन,
यू गॉट अ चांस एंड यू टुक इट। मैम ये पूछना तो पड़ेगा, आप किसी की बहू, किसी की बेटी, किसी की वाइफ तो नहीं हो, इसलिए तो नहीं मिला आपको टिकट?
नहीं नहीं, इसलिए नहीं मिला टिकट, इसलिए नहीं मिला था मुझे टिकट, तो सिर्फ इसीलिए मिला था, 1% मैं उस चीज को देती हूँ कि भाई वुमेन रिजर्व सीट थी इसलिए, और मैं पढ़ी लिखी थी इसलिए लोगों ने, मेरे परिवार ने भी और मेरे आस पड़ोस ने भी मुझे कहा कि आपको चुनाव लड़ना चाहिए, ये तो था कारण।
एंड बदलाव आई है आपके विलेज में। एक वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट क्वेश्चन जो गुरमोहर ने पूछा है कि पंचायत इलेक्शंस के बाद फिर क्या?
आप जैसे आप कह रहे थे आपको एक टेस्ट मिल गई पॉलिटिक्स की, यू आर वेरी गुड एट इट, यू आर वेरी इंटरेस्टेड इन इट एंड यू कैन सी दैट इट्स मेकिंग अ डिफरेंस इन योर विलेज, बट अब क्या एज अ वुमन यू आर नाउ स्टक एट होम, इसके बाद क्यों आप पॉलिटिक्स में क्यों नहीं जाते?
मैं आगे बढ़ी, मैं वहां पर पूरे जो हमारा प्रधान संगठन है उसकी हेड बनी और उसकी हेड मुझे उन्हीं लोगों ने बनाया जो वुमेन्स वहां पे जीत के आई थी, लेकिन वो काम नहीं करती थी आगे आकर के, कहीं जो अभी आपने बोला कि कहीं उनके पति, उनके पुत्र, उनके ससुर, वो उनके नाम से काम करते थे। तो जब मैं अपना काम करने के लिए बाहर निकलती थी और उस एरिया के डीएम या जो भी ऑफिसर देखते थे कि एक महिला तो सरपंच आके काम कर रही है, बाकी के लिए उसके रिप्रेजेंटेटिव काम कर रहे हैं, तो एक दो बार उन्होंने टोका और उन लोगों ने फिर मुझे अपने संगठन का अध्यक्ष बना दिया कि हमारी जो हेड हैं वो एक लेडी हैं, तो मुझे अपना काम करने का बहुत मौका मिला।
You know, I think what also what ma'am is saying and what Gurmohar has pointed out is raising to me a very important question that there is a collective failure. There's no mass of women in politics. Now, even if, let's say, in our lifetime, this women's reservation bill gets passed, where are they going to fill that
they're
quota?
They're there. I agree with what she says. There are enough youngsters.
Ma'am, बहुत लोग हैं यहाँ पे, capable हैं हमारे इंडिया में, और आज नहीं है हमारे पहले से होते आए हैं, हमारे यहाँ बहुत बड़ी बड़ी विदुषियाँ हुई हैं हमारे, जिनमें शास्त्रों में भी जिनके नाम है, तो ये हम नहीं कह सकते कि कम है लोग।
But won't if you don't give them an opportunity to start somewhere, won't you when that day happens and you have to fill 33% of the seats, won't you be only picking on the wives and the daughters and the
bahus? You could say the same thing about the men. How many of our men parliamentarians are really efficient? I mean, regardless.
Or not from politics. You can't go on that, yes, the meritocracy. But let me just add here, because I heard this wonderful story. The last question that was asked in the parliament about women sarpanches was in 2018, April, and the Ministry of Panchayati Raj said that till date, that is in the last 25 years, from the time the 73rd and the 74th amendment aaya hai, we have got 1,06,154 women sarpanches in the country. Would that have been possible without this reservation bill? Nobody would allow any woman to come.
No, we're not debating everybody. No, but you are giving an opportunity.
Please give an opportunity by way of reservation to women in public spaces.
Yes, ma'am, but your party and Lalita ma'am's party have not said we would like to bring in the reservation
in the parliament. Please, when we are voted to parliament, we are going to do it. This is a track record of a majority government of Rajiv Gandhi.
But today we have a majority without waiting for this women's
today we had a majority government.
I'm told that we have a representative of the ABVP, okay, and a representative of the NSUI here in the studio. Okay, let me just ask you first, where do you stand on women's reservation?
In my organization, yes, in my organization, we have a strong belief that reservation is okay, but you need to keep women on all prominent positions in your own organization. I'm talking about BJP, I'm talking about the Congress. You're telling this much percentage of women are going to get into elections, but how many women are there into prominent positions into your own party? We have in our Central Working Committee or in the National Executive Council, we have 40 to 45% women. The national conferences when we held, 10,000 people, students and activists come there. Out of that, 45% are female. So until unless you groom these women, how are you going to, like, just you said that
you've
33
been a presidential candidate.
Yeah,
in the
I have
past.
Been the presidential
so,
candidate. In JNU, from 2012 to 2018,
okay,
we have given 5 presidential candidates as women.
Okay, Jani, I have a question 50% for you. We're out of the time, but candidates. I have a question for you. If you're saying there are so many women represented at all levels, including positions of power, why do we see such a base level of, you know, competitive between parties? Why does one woman attack another woman on issues of sexism and other things? Surely, if we are in politics, are we not going to change things, or are we going to do more of the same like that?
One thing I will just say, two ladies here talked about social trolling, Urmila and Gurmeher. Social trolling is something which we all are facing, irrespective of ideology.
Does that make it okay?
Irrespective of ideology,
have
we
you,
all are facing as a woman.
Have you targeted an opponent who's a woman?
Definitely.
On issues
I am very much active on social media, and trolling is something I am like used to it.
Yes. Have you
as
have
a
you
woman,
trolled
you
another
trolled,
woman?
Like if I have reached a certain position,
have
I must not
another woman.
Never. How can you do that? How can you do that?
Okay.
This is so.
So then, how can you condone your party doing this? It happens to everyone.
Which party doesn't do that? I'm just asking. This is the problem.
So does having women in politics change
anything? Just a minute.
This is the problem.
We are just pushing the issue under the carpet by saying this party, this, that. This is a problem of the society we are living in. Don't make it into this party. This is the problem of the all women.
I'm not.
On
I'm talking about gender. I'm not making it about any party. I'm
no. And one more thing, Kaveri ma'am, just she said that Mabhi Chowkidar is an issue concerned about women. When did Chowkidar gender get specified? When did, if I say we are doctor, how many of, like doctor is a gender neutral term. Chowkidar is a gender neutral term. Chowkidar is for nation. It is not for women.
Okay. Like ma'am said, we're not talking about the specific issues or the slogans of this election. We're talking about the role of women in this election. And is this election going to be a game changer? Because both we have more women coming out to vote and... because, well, we have some parties who are fielding at least 40% of women as their candidates. We're completely out of time on We the People, where we believe it's important to speak up, but it's also important to listen. And tonight, I'm going to leave you with the words of these young Kadar girls and try and give you a snippet of their performance as we roll our credits. Thank you for watching and see you next week. Bye-bye.
बढ़ते कदम मैं उठाती हूँ, कभी गार्ड कभी टैक्सी ड्राइवर बनके कदम से कदम मिलाती हूँ।
मैं हूँ अलर्ट, मैं हूँ होशियार, मेरी हिम्मत है बेमिसाल। मेरे साथ कहो एक बार, ये शहर हमारा आपका
नहीं किसी के बाप का, शहर हमारा आपका।